not having size restriction. The interest in community gardening continues to grow and more gardens are needed. When gardens are close to where people live, there is less need for parking. Allowing market gardens, number four, allowing garden markets on institutional sites. In the past, gardens have been limited to few zones. The recommended code ensures that market gardens are allowed in all zones and on all institutional sites while still providing some parameters to minimize any negative impact on the surrounding community. This code will create more opportunities for urban farmers, especially those who don't have land already and may want to partner with a nonprofit and that has land and is willing to share it. We encourage the City of Portland to continue to stay in dialogue with nonprofits and communities as we come up with a way to ensure that the Urban Food Code is easy to understand and navigate and is accessible for everyone. This will help further the City of Portland's goal of promoting appropriate neighborhood scale food production and build community capacity and knowledge. Increase access to healthful, affordable food for all residents, especially those who have limited access. Thank you for the opportunity to share our views and recommendations.
thank you for taking the time to put them together and to be here to provide them to us. Thank you. Hi, welcome.
Hello. Mr. Mayor and Commissioners, my name is Will Newman. I am a member of the Portland Multnomah Food Policy Council and was able to serve on the Code Development Advisory Group. What may be more of interest to you, and I'm open for questions later, is I served as president of the Board of Oregon Tilth, which is the oldest and largest organic certifier in the state. I currently serve on the Adjudication Committee of Oregon Tilth, which is the body that deals with growers who have run into trouble with their certification. So I would be happy to answer questions about that. And there is a significant difficulty in the proposed amendment that you may not be aware of. So I'm here if you want to draw on me for that. But I'm here today to make a comment on the process that went through that occurred for these changes, these recommended changes to develop. And I have been an advocate for food security and social equity in the City of Portland for over 40 years. And in that time have been involved in processes at the city level and at the county level many times. And I want to say that this process, this particular instance of the process is the most satisfying experience that I've ever had in dealing with government. From the very beginning,
high praise.
I want to make this clear. I really want to make this clear. From the very beginning, from outreach to the community, not only for general input, specific input about what's wrong, what needs to change, what are you concerned about, through getting a broad array of representation on the Code Development Advisory Group, to actually listening to the input from all the various parties, to balancing those conflicts that arose, to clear communication, to doing an outstanding job of defining what was possible and wasn't possible in terms of what it is that the zoning code does and what it is that the zoning code doesn't do, so the conversations were in fact focused on what could be done in the zoning code, to the final resolution of the potential conflicts was done in a highly professional way and really showed respect for public input. And I will say, as I say from my 40 years of experience, if every interaction I had with the government was the interaction everybody had with the government, as in this process, we would have a very happy populace and a lot more effective day-to-day walking around. So thank you very much. And I really want to thank the staff who made all that possible.
Colleagues, I've known Will for about 10 years, and that's high praise.
Well, you're also an original member of the Food Policy Council, if I'm not mistaken.
I am. Yes. I am, unobtrusive member of the Food Policy
Council. So as a pioneer in good food, I finally found the complaint form or the complaint address. I won't even try to tell you the URL for it, under the National Organic Program. Apparently you fax or phone in a complaint, and they then route it back to the state that has an SOP with USDA, which I think ours does, and then they keep track. The state sends back their the report of their complaint.
It's actually even easier than that.
Okay.
All of certification for organic, the word organic is now, when applied to food, is now owned by the federal government, literally. You may not use the word organic in discussing, labeling, signage, or anything else about food unless you comply with the federal labeling law, which we think of as the organic law. That's all, and the federal standards are pervasive. If you want to use the word organic, you either have to be certified by a qualified certifier, and the USDA determines, they have a very involved set of rules about who is and who isn't. Or if your total sales are below a certain level,
$5,000,
you are exempt, and you are not certified, you are exempt. So a lot of growers, you do have to do some paperwork. You don't just get to say, oh, I'm not doing anything. You do have to do some paperwork and things like that, but you don't get certified. So to say that anybody vending at a farmer's market or anywhere else for that matter who says that they are organic must show their certificate is in violation of the federal law, because if you are exempt, you have no certificate. So there's no certificate to show. So you run into a problem when you're trying to encourage small-scale growers in organics. Now, having been a certified organic grower for a number of years, having been a CSA vendor feeding 75 families for a number of years, and teaching farmers how to grow organically and be certified, it's not as straightforward as one thinks. And while I applaud your interest, you know, in saying, you know, consumers should be able to be sure that the person claiming to be organic is organic, and in fact, that's what the organic movement was about consumers, not growers. Mm-hmm. Simply saying you have to show your certificate is not going to work.
But the federal government not regulating those organizations that sell $5,000 or less worth of food doesn't necessarily mean they preempt local government from making such a requirement. So you actually said they're prohibited from doing that, and I doubt that's accurate.
Prohibited from, I'm sorry, did I might have misspoken.
In fairness, I think what he said was that under a certain threshold, since this is regulated by the federal government, you do not have to have a certification document.
You can't get a certification document.
The requirement that you display something that you can't get is self-defeating.
Right. That's, I'm sorry, I may not have said that.
If I can just push back a little bit, how many vendors do you really think at the markets, who show up at 2 to 3 markets a week, really gross less than $5,000 a year?
Well, the markets we have now, generally speaking, I mean, the Portland farmers market, probably none. But there are a lot of smaller farmers markets, and there are a lot of new farmers markets. And if what we're trying to do is encourage small growers and new local growers, most of them gross less than $5,000 the first year or two.
It's interesting. On the NOP website for the state of Oregon, statewide, there are 68 listed certified NOP. Certified organic providers.
Mm-hmm.
Only 68.
Yeah, I have a.
But there's a lot of markets.
No, I understand. Mayor Adams, I have a excused absence to go represent the city at another event. I applaud Commissioner Saltzman for raising this issue, and I think we should be concerned about making sure consumers are given good information. What constitutes visible, particularly for sight impaired people? The interplay between federal law and state law, the potential for inconsistent regulation between farmers markets and other places food is served, the propriety of using the zoning code as an enforcement tool versus somewhere else. Those, I think, are all, to Commissioner Leonard's point, I believe, yes, we have the right to bring amendments at any time, and there's a great tradition, but I prefer to actually have on a question like this, I believe some of the questions that have been raised could benefit from a further discussion. That's all. It is not that you can't bring an amendment.
So,
but I would say it would benefit me as a commissioner who cares deeply about this movement to have more information before I vote on the amendment.
Okay. Thank you. We know you have an excused absence. So I just want to clarify something here, though, back to if, as I read this, and you've just said, thank goodness for iPads, that under $5,000, this is the part, it's not that we don't have the right to regulate. I will ask Catherine about that, whether we have agriculture, I think we do, I would imagine. The point is that if you're exempt, there is no certification to put on your booth. And if there are only 68 certified, and I could be wrong, but if there are only 68 certified organic something or others accounts here, what do they put on their booth? Exempt because it's $5,000 or less. In other words, I'm not sure what you put up on the booth is. They're going to say they're organic.
If they're not certified, they don't have to put up anything.
I would say if they're not certified, they can't put up a sign that says they're organic. I mean, if you can't,
that's
go for an independent process.
That's going to tell my
but
that's
not correct.
But the impact, just so the impact of that would be if there are only 68 certified accounts showing up and we have arguably hundreds, dozens, how many individual vendors do you have in the farmer's market, more or less, citywide?
100 and
so. So what do those people, so you're saying that those people can't put up the sign organic?
It's not independently verified, I'm not sure.
That's what the federal law says, is you cannot use the word organic if you are not either exempt or certified.
But if I can just add a real world example, I mean, true admission.
Yeah.
Some vendors will say we use organic methods, okay, and so that's to the
and that's
to the
a
consumer,
violation of federal law.
To the consumer, what does that mean? And it's kind of like the old LEED certification argument. Well, we meet the LEED standard, we just don't want to pay the money to be certified.
I agree with you, and the law about using the word organic, those the people who say we use organic standards?
Methods.
Organic methods?
Practices.
You can't say that unless you're either organic or exempt under the federal law.
Yeah, but they say that.
Well, I understand that. I mean, here's another true case. I run an organic farm and did for years, and we had chickens that we had for pest control. We did not raise them for food. But if you have chickens, you have eggs, and we sold eggs. But because we gave conventional feed to the chickens to bring them in at night, rather than turn it into coyote food. We had on our cartons, because the name of our farm was associated with organic, because we were certified organic, I wrote in big letters, these eggs are not organically raised. And then I gave an explanation, much as I just said. We actually were threatened with decertification because we used the word organic on a product that was not organic.
Saying not organic.
Yeah, by saying not.
And we literally were forced to change that label so that the word organic did not appear on it in any place. So that rule was very strict.
Thank you. So as the chair, if I could have respectfully, thank you. Could you stay?
Sure.
Could you mind returning to your seats? Who's the most expert on this, Steve? And could our director of Farmers Market and Catherine, do you have an opinion on any of what you've heard thus far?
I don't. I think I would defer to the experts here.
Okay.
May I comment?
I'm going to ask some questions first. So if we have over 200 vendors at various farmers markets, and you don't run all the farmers markets, you run my farmers market in Kenton. and we now know that gross, I guess, at $5,000 or less in a year means that they don't qualify for organic certification. Means that they have to file some paperwork. Did they get to?
They have to file some affidavits and things like that with the certifying agent
and
agency. But they don't get. But they're not certified.
So they are not able to use the word organic. Or
they are.
They are.
They are.
Okay. And how much? I hate to put you on the spot, but
I get to say I don't know.
Okay. What would you say the impact? Do you have any guesstimate going to the farmer's market? And this is a total guesstimate of what percentage of farmer's market vendors have done the paperwork to either to be under the exempt, but they get an organic sticker or whatever it is. How many would you say are currently following the rules and how many are not?
I think that depends a lot on the market, for one thing. The small growers tend to go to smaller markets because they go to market less often. And if you don't go every week, you lose your space at the Portland Farmers Market. I mean, you just can't be there if you're not there all the time. So the bigger markets tend to say, you got to come every week. It's part of the agreement. And so these small exempt growers who are legitimately organic but don't do enough volume to be certified, they just don't go to those markets. They go to smaller, more local neighborhood markets. But they are legitimately organic, and they legally can display the word organic under federal law.
Okay, and just, I'm sorry, folks, to get in the weeds, but sometimes sorting the good weeds from the bad weeds is important. Yeah. So the folks 5,000 or less that are exempt, they're able to say they're organic or able to say they're certified organic, or they look the same?
No, they can say they are organic.
Not certified organic.
Correct.
Okay. Do you have an answer to my question, just get a sense of impact?
Your answer had more to do, or your question had more to do with signage about use of the word.
Right? If you could answer it a couple-fold, one is, how many of your vendors would you guess are following federal rules, and how many are following federal rules but not displaying the certification?
I don't know how many are following federal rules. I don't know exactly how many are following rules and not displaying. However, from talking with my colleagues and from our experience over many years, all that are certified are displaying the certification because it is vastly to their benefit.
Commissioner Fritz, you had some questions?
I think your questioning pulled out that growers can legitimately say they're organic even if they're not certified, if they're exempt.
Correct.
So that's an important thing, because what we're trying to encourage here is small growers to come to market and to be able to use that. And then we already have, as Mayor found on his iPod, a complaint system through the USDA for people who are questioning whether a certification is valid or whether the use of the word is valid, correct?
Yes, and in fact, if you want to file a complaint, you can file a complaint with any certifier. You don't have to go to the federal government.
Or the ODA.
Yeah, or the ODA, who will refer you to one of the certifiers.
They'll take it up.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So does the regulation say they can use the word organic if they sell less than $5,000, or does it say they're not regulated?
No, you can only use the word organic if you are either certified or exempt. And exempt is not a default position. Exempt is something you have to qualify for. You don't get to be exempt just because you don't sell $5,000. You actually have to file with the same entities that do certification, and you have to file some affidavits and show some records. It's just not as involved a process as certifying, and it's there with the understanding that certification actually requires a lot of paperwork and has a fairly significant fee. And the organic program said, we don't want to force people on the lower end out, so if you're below 5,000, you can do this much simpler process. And you can't say you're certified organic, but you can say you're organic.
And is that process to become exempt include some certification to show you use organic techniques?
Well, you file affidavits with the state or with the certifier. You don't get anything back.
I'm asking, you said the entity has to submit substantial paperwork in order to become exempt.
Well, it's not substantial, but yeah, I mean, it's not just a letter that says, hey, I follow the rules. You know,
submit certificate or paperwork.
Right.
Does any of that include the processes used that one uses in growing the product that they sell?
Yeah, I haven't, the verbiage changes over time, but basically what you have to do is sign a witnessed affidavit that says you are aware of the current organic regulations in terms of practices and materials, and that you grow and you list whether you grow vegetables or animals or fruit or whatever, and that you comply with the regulations. But it doesn't say I use this fertilizer and that compost and all of that. It just says I comply with those regulations.
But if one were arguably not fine with those regulations, signed,
right,
apparently under oath,
yeah,
that they were, and it was found that they weren't, then what happens?
then they get de-exempted.
And then, so why can't this amendment require that that process be displayed in addition to whatever entities are designated by the USDA to say somebody is grown organic? Why can't the amendment say you're either certified organic or you have submitted yourself to this other process and wherein you've agreed to do certain practices
because you don't get anything back, for one thing. I mean, if you send stuff in to say I'm exempt,
I see. There's no,
unless they change it, you don't get anything back.
There's no commerce sign, apparently.
Yeah. There's nothing from the government, and anybody can say, hey, this is a letter I sent in.
Well, anybody can say they've grown organic.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah.
Anybody can say
until there's a complaint and an investigation.
I understand that. But the reason you send that in is if there is a complaint, then, you know, the certifier, whoever you were exempted by, will then conduct an investigation and say, you know, there's this complaint about you, and it says that you do, you know, they know you use this fertilizer, and they'll come and look at you.
So they'll come look at your operation. Send you the paperwork, and they don't send you anything back saying you are exempt.
Right. It's kind of like, you know, you submit your tax return, and you get a check or you don't. And if you don't, you don't want to see what you get. But but you don't get anything back from the government saying, oh, yeah, you did everything right. You just get your refund.
But if you represent yourself as being exempt, and it is found you're not exempt, you're committing fraud, aren't you?
Well, but the same thing's true if you represent yourself as being certified and you're not.
Exactly.
I mean, government, no regulation can keep people from lying and cheating.
So just a program, how many people left to testify? Just two more, yes.
Oh. Well, I can make a little testimony, but I just, you know, I think we're making a mountain out of a molehill here, and we're trying to give consumers the best information available, and if somehow this is too complicated, then I would offer a substitute amendment that requires every farmer's market to post the website and the phone number of the Oregon Department of Agriculture and say questions about organic status. Yeah, I think we're trying to simply say
if I might make a suggestion that would be easy.
Because I don't think we should expect consumers to shop on a Saturday or Sunday, and many of these booths don't even have names posted, they're just a table, to say, well, okay, now I've got to go online and figure out who do I make a complaint to and, you know, find out exactly what the mayor just found out, how long that's going to take. I mean, that's unreasonable.
If I could suggest, it might be a little easier, since all of the farmers markets I know of, if you claim to be organic, you have to show the farmer's market that you're organic. So if you have a certificate, you have to show them the certificate. If they just keep a copy of those on file, and then the people who are exempt, they list as claiming exemption, okay? Because, again, there's no real way to deal with that very well.
But there's no way from a farmer's market necessarily on premises of each farmer's market on a Saturday or Sunday.
Oh, yeah, there's always somebody there from the entity.
A manager? Yes.
Yeah. Every market I know of has a manager on site when the markets are
closed. They don't have the documentation with them.
Well, that's quite possible.
It's also possible that we could, yeah.
I think it would be helpful to have a non-complaint-driven process so that, because that's your intent, Commissioner Saltzman, is so that people can trust what they see at the booths. So if the managers are responsible for checking that, that seems to me to be a good
sign. They're doing that.
And that's the case
anyway,
with all of the markets,
already
yeah.
doing that. So just
we have two more people to testify. Thank you for your extensive conversation with us, all of you. All right, last two.
Are Amy Gilroy and Katie Kelker.
Hi. Thanks for waiting.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Amy Gilroy, and I work for Oregon Public Health Institute. Oregon Public Health Institute is an advocacy organization dedicated to improving the health of Oregonians through policy and environmental change. As mentioned previously, our partnership with the Bureau was made possible through Multnomah County Health Department's Communities Putting Prevention to Work program. And our role in this project has been to provide public health expertise on health issues for inclusion in the Bureau's public materials. Health is something that we all care about, but we tend to take it for granted until we get sick. This is unfortunate because it is often much easier to maintain good health than it is to cure disease. We know that good nutrition is an important part of chronic disease prevention, but many Portland residents do not have adequate access to appropriate and affordable healthful food. And similar to national trends, struggle to consume 5 or more fruits and vegetables every day. Only about 1/3 of all Multnomah County residents are achieving this recommendation. During this project, OPHI and Bureau worked together to determine how the zoning code could address gaps in access to healthful food among specific communities in Portland. And what we found was that the zoning code is a tool that establishes land uses equally throughout the city, but that it isn't a precise enough tool to address the gaps in access that have been identified. While the revisions will go a long way in improving our community's access to healthful food and reducing negative health trends over time, we would like to recommend that the council examine what other planning tools beyond the zoning code could be applied to support specific communities who have not yet benefited from food production and distribution activities in Portland. We'd also like to recommend that the council take into consideration health concerns that were raised during the public involvement process. Many community members expressed concern about the safety of foods grown in urban soils and what resources are available to educate community members on appropriate food handling and preparation techniques and best practices in soil management. We would like to recommend that the council direct that information on these health concerns be prepared in languages that reflect the multi-ethnic communities in Portland, including Mandarin, Russian, Chinese, Vietnamese, and Spanish, and that the council identify programs such as the Diversity and Civic Leadership Program to work with communities to ensure they have information on these best practices. Thank you.
Who is this?
Oregon Public Health Institute.
And what is that?
We are a statewide advocacy organization. Our mission is childhood obesity prevention.
Okay.
And we work on policy and environmental change.
So you're supportive of this?
I'm supportive of the recommendations.
No, is your organization supportive of the code, knowing that it's just land use code?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Thank you. I thought your suggestions are very helpful. I'll see what I can do.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Katie Kolker. I'm Executive Director of the Portland Fruit Tree Project, and I'm a member of the Portland Multnomah Food Policy Council, and also served on the Code Development Advisory Group for this project. And I'm really thrilled to be here today expressing my support for this code zoning code update. It's been my honor to be a part of this process for over 2 years now as co-chair of the Urban Food Urban Agriculture Committee of the Multnomah Food Policy Council, from when some of the groundwork for this proposal came, as well as participating in some very vivacious community input meetings, as well as on the CBAG. and I first of all want to just mention, which has already been mentioned, that the each proposed code update is a result of a really comprehensive process in which many details were considered and many voices were heard, and an incredible amount of collaboration and citizen involvement have gone into creating this proposal. We're at a significant junction in time when there's both great interest and creativity blossoming in our city around urban food production and distribution, and also critical need for increased access to healthful, affordable foods. The proposed zoning code changes present an opportunity for the city to remove unnecessary barriers and allow for community gardens, market gardens, food buying clubs, CSAs, and farmers market to grow and thrive in our city. These activities strengthen our local economy, build community resilience and self-sufficiency, and make healthy food more accessible to all. And I'd like to offer one example. My fiance runs a small CSA farm in the Cully neighborhood, which is actually one of a number of small farms operating in the neighborhood. The farm provides weekly fresh produce to CSA subscribers and to the food pantry at the church that owns the property. The neighbors love having a community farm there instead of the vacant lot that it used to be. Vandalism at the site has gone down considerably, and a children's garden program has started up. The farm brings great value to the community, including the farmers who generate income from it as a small business. But it, like many existing market gardens in the city, is not technically allowed under the current zoning code. The proposed code changes will make it possible for this and many other market gardens of appropriate scale to operate in residential neighborhoods. So this is just one example of how these zoning code changes will increase opportunities for self-sufficiency, healthy eating, and entrepreneurship in our fine city. And I hope that you'll approve the recommended zoning changes. Furthermore, I encourage the city to make a concerted effort to raise awareness about these code updates if they're put into effect, and the opportunities that they raise for folks in the community to engage in urban food production and distribution activities. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you both very much.
And Amy, could you email me with your information, because that would be helpful to have your work in crafting some of that language that then we could help with translating it.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. Staff, could you come back up? By the way, there's just a lot of alfalfa, organic alfalfa, in this state. I'm just shocked.
That's because we got a lot of people wanting to raise beef organically.
Yeah,
for the money.
I figured, yeah. I'm glad to know that all of my labels are certified organic. Did you have thoughts?
Well, I guess I think the intent of my original amendment is probably the simplest. But if you have third-party certification, you need to display it. But if that's not acceptable to a majority of this council, then I would propose an alternative amendment that says a sign must be posted at each market saying, and market managers must retain certification documents. And the sign would say, market manager. Questions? Market managers have certification documents. But I think the original version of the amendment's a lot simpler.
I'll second it for a sake of discussion. The reason that I think the original
or
this one motion, did you just make a motion?
No, I was saying
you're right, we have one on the table.
If the council doesn't like this one, I will propose this.
The reason, so we're still debating the original amendment. The reason that I've come to learn through this conversation is you don't get a piece of paper if you're 5,000 and less. They don't send you anything. You can use the word organic. You cannot use the word certified organic, but you can use the word organic. So there's nothing for them to certificate. There's no certification document or seal for them to display. That's the problem. So, do you still want us to vote on your amendment or your second idea? I think your second idea is brilliant.
Okay. how can I refuse? I will withdraw my first amendment and offer the second amendment that would say that market managers must retain organic certification records on site and have signage posted to the effect that market managers have this information. So. Questions about organic status, consult the market manager.
So
a lot of these vendors have no names on their booths. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Catherine?
Or tables. Yeah.
Second. For now, it's been moved and seconded. We're now discussing.
Time.
I just want to make sure, if you're going to adopt an amendment today, you need to have the actual language you're going to adopt. So is the language you read precisely the language
yes.
you want in that amendment?
Yes. Except that what if somebody is not representing the products that they're selling as organic?
They still have to file the paperwork that shows that they either filed as exempt or that they're certified
I'm
organic.
I'm saying at a farmer's market, if somebody is selling products, they're not organic, nor do they represent them to be organic, you wouldn't want to have the group that's organizing the market to be in trouble for not having a product. So you're saying the product's not organic.
Correct. And the seller's not representing them to be organic.
Yeah, that's fine. It's only that
your amendment run contrary to that?
No, I don't think so. I'm saying
if somebody just has a sign up that says it's organic, then they have to have paper that doesn't require all products.
Yeah, or if you have any question, suppose that unnamed table, wanting to make that sale tells you it's organic methods, then you can go to the market manager and just say, that third table on the left there, can you tell me, are they certified or whatever?
Okay.
And then, you have the choice to make an informed decision, a more informed purchasing decision.
So we, yes?
So can we repeat the amendment? Just
yes.
To clarify it. And what we got, I believe, is that market managers must retain certification, organic certification information on site and must post a sign to that effect.
The sign saying questions about organic certification Please see market manager.
It's been moved, it's been restated, it's been seconded. Carla, can you please call the vote on the motion?
Saltzman?
I think this is a good step in providing consumers the most opportunity to be aware of what they're purchasing. So I fully support this amendment as a purchaser myself. Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Well, thank you, especially to our expert citizens for helping us puzzle through this, as well as to our expert staff. Aye.
Adams?
I do. I'm going to support this, and I also liked what Commissioner Saltzman said in terms of finding my legislative intent to echo his earlier statement that this would also be required of the commercial, commercial food retailers. Thank you. Thank God you're here. but I understand that this isn't necessarily the legislative vehicle to do that. Aye. All right. We move to a sec. Yes, we have more. Commissioner Fritz.
One comment. Thank you. First of all, thank you, everybody who's here, for all of your work, especially the Citizen Advisory Group. Thank you to staff and to the mayor for moving this. And I'm very supportive of the concept. I think we're doing some really good things here. I do want to highlight for citizens that we are proposing to allow market gardens of up to 174,000 square feet in residential zones, and that's in all residential zones, and that we're proposing to allow sales between 7 o'clock in the morning and 9 p.m. and motorized equipment between 7 o'clock in the morning, 9 p.m., 7 days a week. So I'm certainly interested in hearing from citizens who didn't take time off work to come down to testify about this, whether they think that might have any potential conflicts, because I think we all want to make sure that this is something that sort of benefits the neighborhoods rather than something that gets me more emails, and particularly gets Commissioner Saltzman more emails about what BDS can do about it, and the answer will be no, this is allowed. So I just want to make sure that that's clear, so that if there are hopefully our concerns, that we would hear them before next week and could deal with them at the time.
And maybe just I think that's useful, and also can you remind us of the noise code, because that I think applies to some, if not all, the equipment, and if it doesn't, then that's an issue we might need to.
Well, there are noise regulations, which we know we have few staff to enforce, and that they're supposed to be, you can't hear beyond the property line, but we all know that that's okay. Not the case. The construction hours are from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., and not on Sundays, I don't believe. Is that correct?
I'm not sure about that.
I'm not sure either. And then leaf blowers are even longer than this is proposed. So I think we should revisit leaf blowers at some point.
I couldn't agree more. All right. Thank you. Steve, especially big thanks to you for your year in and year out, years in and years out advocacy on this. To everyone involved, we will vote on this next week. We're going to take just a 4-minute break.
Mayor Adams, you had two items before you.
The second one will be voted on next week as well.
The resolution, so yeah. You're carrying that forward as well.
Yeah, just so that in case something comes up between now and then that we need to change. So thank you. We're moving forward. 669 will be considered next week along with 668. We have a 4-minute break.
Yeah. That was good.
All right. Take a look, Jeff.